For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turning in God's Word tonight for our scripture reading, before I give a word of testimony, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's begin our reading at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning our reading at verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But whilst thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Certainly powerful words to any minister and to the people of God as we contemplate what it is the Lord has called us to do. It is a joy to be back with you, to arrive yesterday. I think I've been in the United States now a little bit over 24 hours, and it's good to have your feet back on soil that is familiar. It was a long trip. We went to Northern Ireland and then to Liberia. That in itself had a number of different difficulties in going to Northern Ireland. The climate was quite different than what we found in Liberia, so it was almost like you had to take two sets of clothing. You go to Northern Ireland, the food is quite different than what you find in Liberia. And in Northern Ireland, if you're not preaching, when you open your mouth, they stick food in it. In Liberia, you have to be careful what they stick in your mouth. Palsy again got monkey meat this time, and those who wanted it had a chance to take it. I passed again for the second time, and I think hopefully he'll quit getting that. But anyways, there are things that way. But there are differences as well as to the feeding of God's people. In Northern Ireland, people are very well fed. And when you step into a pulpit, the people have heard the Word of God and heard the Gospel, and you're giving people something alongside of what they've learned. Oftentimes in Liberia, it's quite the opposite. When you're dealing with the topic that we dealt with, the Book of Romans, there was so much that was new to them. And so it was quite a different meeting from one place to the other. We were in Northern Ireland from the 15th to the 21st, and then in Liberia from the 22nd to the 31st. The reason for going to Northern Ireland was for the meeting for Joanne Greer. They had what they called a sending forth meeting. Both mission boards were represented, and we were sending her forth to the mission field. Very emotional time for the family, for John, as well as for his wife and children, as they were sending out Joanne to go to Liberia. And yet a joyous time. As John Greer said, this is what he set his daughter apart for and all of his children, was to be servants of the Lord in whatever capacity the Lord would take them. So there was a good number of people that night. His church holds about 600, and they put chairs out so they could hold 700. And then they had a video for the overflow crowd in the fellowship, and certainly the church was packed, and I think there were those in the overflow, so I'm not sure if they ever got an exact head count, but it was well over 700. Coming from the different churches, they'd had a good while since they'd had a missionary go out full-time, and so it was a tremendous meeting for the denomination. Ron Johnston was the preacher. He's the moderator of the Free Church in Northern Ireland. Preached powerfully on the passage of the Great Commission. I was to bring greetings from the United States and also speak as to what Joanne Greer's work will be, to give a little history as to what's taken place in Liberia and where she fits, as it were, into our labors there. So it went very well. They decided earlier on, if we would permit, that they would take an offering for the purchase of a vehicle. We'd already purchased the vehicle and sent it, and they wanted to raise the money for that vehicle. We said that would be tremendous. And so they took an offering. It was 12,000 pounds. That's quite an offering. That translates into U.S. currency about $19,000. So in one offering was certainly the people were very, very generous and giving to the work. The Lord's presence was felt throughout the meeting, and we thank the Lord for his help at that time. After that, Palsy and I separated. He went one way, I went another. We were in at least four, I was in four churches. I think he was in four churches. each one representing the mission board and telling the people about the work in Liberia, as well as giving testimony and have an opportunity to preach. So I didn't see him again until the mission board met, and when we met, we discussed again the work in Liberia and how that we're both jointly laboring together through our sister Joanne Greer there in Liberia. I preached in Ballymoney. That's David Park's church. It used to be Alan Cairns' church before he came to the United States. And now that he's retired, that is the church now he goes to worship at. I was in Ballymena Sunday evening, and that was, of course, John Greer's church. And then in Lisburn, where John Douglas had been the pastor, and now Thomas Martin is the pastor. And then I was in Coraine with Roger Higginson. I say that because some of you know these men, and we had a good time in each church. Lord blessed, and we were able to share the word, proclaim the word, and meet with God's people, especially in the midweek services in the place of prayer. Also had an interesting meeting with Alan Edwards. Alan Edwards is a man who sells turbines, or did sell turbines. Now he's going into business with another man who sells turbines and solar panels. We're having difficulty with the expenses of a generator and what would be a continuing on expense. So we're looking into something that would be alternative. And I had a nice meeting with him after the meeting in Lisburn. I think I didn't get home that night till about 1 in the morning. And so he gave us information. We're following up on that. And hopefully there'll be something we can do as a combination of energy rather than just trying to do one type of energy. We're hoping that this will work and cuts down some of the costs. I also met with Chris Killen, Fru Rainey, and James McAllister, some of the men that you would know, and saw Dr. Cairns, Dr. McClellan, who was over for special meetings, as well as Lindsay Wilson and, of course, the Greers. It was a good time. The Lord blessed. We were worn out from that week, and then we had another week to go. And the real work was yet ahead of us. But we thank you for your prayers, both in travel and in the opportunities of ministering the word. The Lord certainly blessed. This was an unusual trip going into Liberia because this time we were going by way of Morocco. We were going through Casablanca. The Royal Air Maroc, I think they call it, was our airline. It's not quite as nice an airline as SN Brussels or Delta. And when you get to Morocco, it's not quite as nice a place as some of the other places we had already been. But on the way down, the Lord put a man next to me who was Muslim, and he's 24 years of age. And as we began talking, I tried to steer the conversation to talk about our Lord. And he was willing to talk about the Lord. He knew something about Christianity. He asked me right away, "You're a Protestant minister." He said, "Does that mean you can marry?" I says, "Of course that's, I can marry. I have a wife and a daughter." And that meant a great deal to him. He evidently didn't think too highly of Rome's view. And so we got talking, and he had questions. He said, "Who is, what is this worship that you're about?" And I explained to him that Jesus Christ is God. He said, "Oh, then he's not a man." I said, "No, he's 100% man." "Oh, then he's not God." I said, "Now you're starting to understand. He is both God and man, two distinct natures, one person forever." And he listened very closely, and I said, "You have to understand why he came into the world." And I explained to him how he came and died on Calvary in order he might remove the sins of his people. Well, this is the first time in his life, he's 24 years old, he ever heard the gospel. He had no idea. He's a Muslim, very intelligent fellow, been to a number of countries. He just finished his college degree in engineering from a university in India. He's also studied in Brazil, knows five languages, and yet he did not know the gospel. And so had a chance to share with him the gospel, and I had with me a Kindle that had on it the interlinear New Testament. I was actually reading in John's gospel. I said, "Take a look at this." So here he was. He was looking at the Gospel of John, the first 14 verses in this Greek interlinear, and he was following along, reading in the Greek. I said, "Well, you might be interested then in just looking at John's gospel." So I gave him John's gospel, and for the next 20 or 30 minutes, all he did was read. Time, he'd stop and ask questions. What does it mean when it says that Christ came unto his own and his own received him not? And so that gave more opportunity of explaining the gospel. He read all the way through chapter 6 of John's gospel before our flight ended. And I offered to give him more information, and hopefully he'll write to me and give him an email address. But it was a joy just to be able to give the gospel to a man who's never heard. He said, "What you're planning on doing in Liberia. You can't do it in my country. They lock you up. He said, how would you do it in my country? I said, well, we have businessmen that would go under the cover of a business. Oh, then you're not being honest. I said, no, we would do the business, but we'd be having a second business to do while we're there, and that is tell your people about the good news of Christ. Very interested young man. Obviously, an open heart like that is something the Lord has already dealt with him on, some things anyways, and we trust the Lord will continue to speak. I wish I could tell you his name. Unless he writes to me, I won't be able to tell you his name. I think he told it to me, and I didn't write it down right away, and there were too many other names thrown in my brain when I was in Liberia that I couldn't pull it up. I had another chance to speak to another Muslim man on the second half of the journey into Liberia. His English wasn't as good, so we weren't able to converse as much, but he knew that I was a gospel preacher, and we were able to speak about the Lord to him. We got in at 3:40 in the morning. If I don't take that flight again, then I'd be very happy with that. We went and tried to sleep for a few hours, and then we had an interview with the pastors. They came to be interviewed about their churches. We had a good time with them and saw what needs are there among the four churches that are mission churches. They have great needs, as we do in this country, and those needs are compounded by the poverty and problems that they are facing. But nonetheless, it was a good time to be with the men and to speak with them about their churches. The next day, we began the workshops, but it started with going to ELWA and being on the radio. And for half an hour, I was interviewed. As a result of that, there were 20 more leaders in churches that came and signed up for the workshops. And so we had to postpone the first workshop for about half an hour while people kept signing up. We gave notes that were over 100 pages and put together on the book of Romans. And then they would register, and that paid for their notes as well as the lunch that they would have in the afternoon. They could only hold 85 people in the building. They said that they would take registrations for around 90. They had over 100 that came and registered. The rest that they said, you know, we'll give you a seat if one is open. And we averaged 60 or more every day for those workshops. Some of the days it was extremely hot because the electricity coming from the grid in Mount Monrovia wasn't working that day. And so here you're in an enclosed building. And they didn't seem to mind, but this Philistine from America was dying of heat. And it was quite a sauna, to say the least, during the time of teaching. We dealt with the book of Romans. When you actually look at the hours, it was 5 hours a day, 3 a.m, 2 p.m, with an hour for lunch in the middle, and going through the book of Romans. As I said, we were teaching things that the people, for a large extent, did not know much about. They knew Christ died for their sins. They knew that through that death they are saved. But when it actually comes to some of the doctrinal statements in the gospel, they were very much ignorant. So we dealt with some of the gospel words. We dealt with 15 different gospel words there associated with the gospel in Romans, especially dealing with justification by faith and the imputing of Christ's righteousness. But we dealt with election, God's sovereignty and salvation. We dealt with reconciliation, redemption, propitiation, adoption, grace itself, trying to give them an understanding of what those words mean. And then we went section by section through the book of Romans. And as these words would come up, we would stop and discuss the words and then continue on to the next section. Most of our time was spent in the first half of Romans because that's where the gospel is unfolded. But we did go all the way through the book. It was interesting when I came to the last word in Romans, they clapped. I'm not still sure what that was about, whether they felt that they had endured to the end or they were glad I was done. I'm not sure. But it was a good time around the word each day. There were times of unusual presence, when the Lord's presence was unusual there, where you could see the wheels turning, where they're hearing things for the first time, and things they'd never heard. I mentioned this morning that there was a Pentecostal leader of a church, a pastor who was there, and he came to one of the meals that we had in the evenings. Palsy seemed to be able to schedule every minute of every day, so we were doing something worthwhile the whole time we were there. And in the evenings, we'd have dinner, and we'd have the people who were at the workshop. They had to be a leader of a church. They could be women who were leading in the women's groups, Some, I think, would even call themselves a pastor in the Pentecostalist movement. That would not be an adverse thing. But anyways, there were some women that came to dinner and men. And one of the young men that came, he said, what are you learning at the workshop? He said, I'm learning things I've never heard before in my life. And he said, I found out that I'm teaching error. And what I have been teaching is not true. And he says, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And he was very concerned that he had actually come to trust Christ or not. And so I encouraged him to come to Christ. But nonetheless, he was there, and it was encouragement to us to speak to him. And we spent every evening we were spending time fielding questions. Every day we were fielding questions at the workshop, but in the evening, questions that were more away from the book of Romans and dealing with some of the serious problems that are in the nation as far as religious things are concerned. We had the pastor of a large Lutheran church where the people were slaughtered in the church, where 600 people died. He was at our meetings as well as at the guest house. We also had another Lutheran pastor, a man older than him, who has been a Lutheran pastor for many years. And he says, you know, from what you're telling us, he says, we have not heard this in our church. And he said, you know, we are the Martin Luther to our own church. He said, we're telling these things. I'm going back to tell these things to our own people, and they have never heard these things. And so there was the opening of the eyes, and we trust that the Lord will indeed open the hearts of the people. My fear is that some of these great truths are so contrary to man's reasoning that a week from now they will be overwhelmed by the world and by their own unbelief to go back to the things that they had once heard. And we need to pray that God would water the seed that was sown, and that these truths would find a strong lodging in the heart, and that it would not only transform them, but they would be enabled to go to the churches that they represented to see them converted. I mean, changed by the power of the gospel. Now, some of the questions that kept coming up, if imputed righteousness is true, then doesn't that allow you to live in sin? Well, that's what we were looking at this morning, where we're not. That is exactly the argument that was used back in the days of the apostles. It helps you understand that you're actually preaching the truth when somebody makes that wrong application. And so we were able to share again and again and again with them that you don't understand, and then help them to understand that every man who is justified is also being sanctified, and that the two go together. Also, that justification so overwhelms the heart with gratitude and love that a man does not want to sin. He is grieved when he does. Some of them, being from a Pentecostal background, asked questions about whether they could lose their salvation. So, as I said, it was a tremendous time, and the Lord blessed. We had, I don't know how many churches represented. Brother Dave Allen's here tonight. Some of the people, men they have dealt with, were at these meetings. We saw some last year, and they were back out, and we had a good time of fellowship with them. We had, as well, an opportunity, having a message on Sunday, to welcome Joanne Greer to the land of Liberia. Our four churches came together for one service, and we had a tremendous time there at that service and had communion with the brethren from the different churches at once. Joanne had Bible clubs when we were there. We told her the first week, we know you're trying to get settled in, but we would like for you to have a Bible club. And so she did. She had 60-some children come to the first one. The next one, there were 75. By the end of the week, there were 100 children coming to the Bible club. She went around. They hadn't had many at Sunday school in that particular church. So she went around in the court in to the village and with some others. And when she got done, there were 90 that came to the Sunday school that Sunday morning. So she had the opportunity, again, of giving the gospel to children. Many of these children never heard the gospel in their life. And she was welcomed by the village as well as by the parents to actually take their children and have a Bible club with them. So we thank the Lord for what He has done already through her ministry in the time she has gone in previous days, and we're looking forward to good reports as she seeks to work in our churches and bring little ones to Christ and help them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Her car was still in customs when we left. It had been in customs now for a couple of weeks. They told us before we left that it would cost us over $3,000, I think it was $3,600 to get out of customs. Well, the Lord answered prayer, and it was down to $500 when we actually paid for customs. But why they won't let it go, we're not sure. It's packed full of stuff that she's going to be using in her ministry. It's on one of these bins that have gone over the ocean, and the whole thing is being held up so that we're not having to complain much. Everybody is complaining. Why can't we get our barrels out of this container? And it's that Free Presbyterian car holding everything up. So it may be out now. It was supposed to come out the last time they made an adjustment. They said it was going to come out on Saturday. So hopefully she has her vehicle. She does have a nice apartment that she's staying in. If they would just keep the electricity and the water running, it would be nice, even nicer. And Nicanio doesn't hold out much hope for that. He's pretty much given up taking a shower. He just heats the water on the stove, uses a ladle, and rinses himself off with it. His apartment is about the size of one of Joanne's bedrooms. Hopefully we can get him into a house before the year is up. But anyways, both of them are doing well. They send their greetings, and I'd ask you to continue to pray for them. We did see the property. We were walking the property, beautiful piece of property. They have now cleared the land. In clearing the land, the only thing left on it are the palm trees. There is a shed that we have put up, a very nice building. There's also a well that's been dug 30 foot into the earth, and that is doing well, and the well is doing well. Anyways, and they've made about 4,000 blocks to begin the house when we start. As we walked the land, it was very clear that there could be three houses up near the front of the land, another two or three along the side of the land, and still the middle of the property would not be touched. So we're thankful for the Lord providing the land. There's a lot of hurdles to overcome as far as putting up a couple of houses and a wall around it to protect it. We ask for your prayers for wisdom as we would go forward. But it was a good time. As I said, there was a companion with Joanne Greer, Jillian Ferguson, and she was a big help to Joanne, and we'll be carrying back the stories of what the Lord did in her heart while she was there, and we trust that will further motivate people to pray for the land of Liberia. As I said, we were on the radio twice at ELWA, as well as Masters Radio. Masters Radio is with Richard Wesley. Had some tremendous times of fellowship with him. He was able to come out to some of the workshops himself. He's a Baptist, as well as Nelson Sires, a Reformed Baptist. We had Baptists, Pentecostals, Lutherans, and Presbyterians all gathered to study the Word. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity of giving out the Word, teaching the Word, and we trust the Lord will change hearts because of it. Now, Palsy is not back yet. Please pray for him. We try to rearrange his schedule. Once we were in Liberia, they were not able to change his flight to have him come back with me. Everything was already booked, so he had to stay a few more days as he had initially intended in Brussels. So he should be back on Tuesday. We would ask that you remember our brother in your prayers as he travels home on Tuesday.